Welcome to the Real Vintage Podcast with your host, Stephen Cox. On today's episode,
I would say prayer has to be at the forefront and the background and the side drops and in every aspect of ministry.
All that and more coming up next.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Real Vintage Podcast, and this is Stephen Cox, and man, we got a great episode planned for you today. I've got a guest, a special guest, a dear friend of mine, Pastor Kenny Kuykendall of the Crossroads Baptist Church there in Lawrenceville, Georgia. He's going to join us for a nice interview today that you will not want to miss. He says some great stuff on here today about his new book that's coming out and just about his life and ministry and some little nuggets that you can take away from the interview, and it'll help you. So I want you to share the podcast. Today's kind of a special podcast for us because we have another new guest on. And again, we're just getting started with the podcast, really. We have several episodes now behind us. And man, it's been really delightful to see God grow it, and the downloads and the shares and the likes and the comments, the feedback, all of it is pretty awesome. And so we're very, very thankful for that. And before we get into the interview with Pastor Kenny, this is one of the best times of the year. And I just want to kind of throw this out there. The reason it's one of the best times, here we are in August, and schools about to start. I know everybody's school is a little different this year because of the pandemic, but school is starting here in South Carolina, and my kids will be going to school several days a week and be doing that. So, but that's not the reason. I love August. It is hot in South Carolina, and so that's not the reason I like it. The reason I love August is because we're 1 month closer to deer season than we were last month. And meaning that in some of the lower parts of South Carolina, deer season actually starts in a few days. But here in the upstate, we still got a little over a month left before we can actually start hunting. And I love deer season. I love getting ready for deer season just as much as I love deer season, meaning that I like clearing land. I like setting up blinds and box stands. I like putting out feeders and corn. And I like all of those things that may be monotonous, and it may be, to some, I don't like it. I just like doing it. But you'll never kill the big deer unless you do the work before. It's just not going to happen. And so this is one of my favorite times. And one of my favorite things to do is check cameras. Now, I've discovered a couple things in the last few months that I really enjoy. I enjoy these new cell cameras. They're not new, but they're kind of new to me. So I've got a couple Spy Point cell cameras that I use, and what they do is I never have to go and pull a card. I never have to go and romp through the woods and leave my scent and all that stuff. Now all of the pictures, all of the notifications come straight to my phone. I never have to leave where I'm at. So I could be in Georgia. I could be in North Carolina. I could be in Kentucky. I could be in Tennessee and get a notification from my trail cameras on my property that there's been alert. Something's in on my corn or in the food plot or whatever. So you need to go, and if you're a deer hunter, you need to go and check out Spy Point camera, MicroLink cameras. Depending on what service you have, Verizon or AT&T or whatever, go check it out. And of course, this is the first full deer season that I'll be using cell cameras, but I can already tell that I love the cell cameras. They're a little bit more pricey than your standard cameras. I think I paid about $150 a piece for them. But I'll be honest, with the convenience and the ease of the setup and never having to go out there much and check all that, it's going to help me and benefit me greatly. It's definitely worth the investment. So go check out Spy Point MicroLink cell cameras, and you can go pick them up and find them either on Amazon or Cabela's or Bass Pro or whatever, and they are great for deer season. So I'm excited about that. Looking forward to deer season. Man, I've got my cameras and got my stands set up and got different things. We've been working on some of the properties there and getting some of that ready, and may even do some traveling this fall to some different states to hunt. And so looking forward to a couple little trips that we have planned if everything kind of falls into place, and with a few friends. And so that'll be good, and looking forward to that. Just it's the best time of the year when September rolls around. Some of the best time of the year, starts cooling down, starts having some deer season and some football season and different things there. So stay tuned, though, to the Real Vintage Podcast. And, man, I'm looking forward to this episode with Pastor Kenny Kuykendall. Speaking of the episode, we're just going to jump right into the interview with Pastor Kenny Kuykendall of the Crossroads Baptist Church in Lawrenceville, Georgia. Brother Kenny, I'm so glad to have you on the podcast this morning, and thankful that you are able to be one of our guests, one of our first guests. And so tell us, Pastor Kenny, a little bit about your family, and kind of start out that way.
Well, first of all, Steve, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here today. I really appreciate your ministry and how the Lord's using you, across the nation. And then I appreciate your friendship. We've been friends for years, and I just appreciate the honesty and just the humility that you have. And it's very refreshing to have a friend like you in the ministry.
Well, I
pastor in Lawrenceville, Georgia. Been there going into 13 years this fall. And I've been in the ministry for over 20 years now. I've been married. This will be the 20th year me and my wife have been married.
Congratulations.
So we're celebrating that just in a couple of weeks, actually.
That's awesome, yeah.
And so I have three children. I have twins that are just graduated high school.
Yeah.
And then our youngest is going into eighth grade. And so we're pastoring out in Lawrenceville, just trying to fight the good fight of faith.
I tell you this, north of Atlanta, that's kind of, Lawrenceville would be considered a suburb of Atlanta. Would you say, or no?
Is that
too
right.
Far? Okay.
No, so, we're about 25 miles northeast of Atlanta.
Yeah.
Atlanta, Georgia.
So I've been to Brother Kenny's church. We preach, I think it was last spring at a youth, like a youth Saturday thing you had, and got to see, I was one of the first preachers to come into your building, if I'm not mistaken. It was brand spanking new. And my goodness, what a gorgeous facility right there in Lawrenceville. And to see where God has brought your church family, because we got to walk through it that day and just kind of see. And you could, I'm in a lot of churches throughout the year and just different places. And the Lord's allowed. Sometimes you can walk on the property of a church and you can feel the electricity, like the energy. There's a vibrant spirit, there. And man, that was one of the first feelings that I got when I stepped on your campus there. And it is truly a campus. It's beautiful. And I think Jacob was with me that day, and we left, and I'm like, man, that's a dream of mine for Bible Baptist Church is just to grow together and see God do it. What man cannot do. And that's kind of been a testimony. At least I've followed the Crossroads Baptist Church there in Lawrence for years. And so that's been a testament of your faithfulness as well. So you answered that in my second question was going to be how long you've been in the ministry. What are some mentors or heroes that along the way that maybe helped guided you to where you are today, kind of made you and molded you?
Well, most of my heroes are dead, to be honest with you. My grandfather was my pastor all my life till I was about 18 years old. And he is in heaven today. Yeah. He was a country preacher, really had, honestly, the power of God on him. And I don't say that just because I was his grandson, but Had a third grade education, was raised by the son of a sharecropper.
Yeah.
Just really hungered for the presence of the Lord on his life. I remember as a little boy, I would go into his sunken den and, you know, try to find where he was at. He was doing one of two things. He was either watching old Westerns or he was in his office moaning and groaning and praying.
Wow.
And I remember a lot of times on Saturday, I would go in and, you know, be talking to Granny. And we knew Papa was out, you know, in his office. It wouldn't be long until we could just start hearing him weeping.
Wow.
And so that really left an impression
on my life. What a heritage. My goodness.
I have a great heritage. I'm so grateful for that. And we were in smaller churches. You know, we had 100, 120. That was a big day for us.
Yeah.
But he was really, I guess, just a pillar of my faith.
Yeah.
My grandmother as well. I have some distant members of my family who are also preachers. My brother's a preacher and pastors out in
right here in
South Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not real far from us. I mean, maybe 45 minutes, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Out in 6 Mile, South Carolina.
6 Mile, so, the big metropolis. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I've not met your brother, but I hear great things. I know we have some mutual friends. I think Jonathan McNeese speaks highly of him and several others, but I'd like to meet him one day. I hear that he's a big guy, like tall, bigger. So then there's Pastor Kenny, you know, and that's what Jonathan always talks about is, you know, Kevin's the big guy, you know. And
Kevin, I'm actually 2 years older than Kevin.
Okay.
And so we were about the same size till around 13. And then he just shot up and left me behind.
That's awesome.
He's about 6'4". I mean, just a big man's man. And but he's doing a great work out there at Mile Creek Baptist Church.
Creek.
And, yeah. And so.
So to have two brothers in the ministry, pastoring, faithfully pastoring, that is first of all, you don't hear of that a whole lot, unfortunately, to have siblings in the ministry together, striving together, you know, faithfully pastoring. So somebody had to do, I honestly believe, like what you're talking about, your granddad praying, your grandmother being just great examples, and your dad was not a pastor, I take it, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Well, so
he was a deacon, a Baptist deacon.
Just faithful.
Faithful, mom and dad, faithful, always in church. We saw the inner workings of ministry just like you.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we saw it being real in their lives. And I would hear my granddad preach, and just like you hear your dad preach, and you see the people flock around him and, you know, sign the Bibles and all that, but what I saw that really impressed me more than his sermons was really the way that he just lived day to day.
Wow.
I wrote a book several years ago called The Private Life of a Preacher.
Oh, yeah.
And much of that is just kind of taken from off the spiritual character that he displayed, the biblical qualifications that he manifested to us, not on Sunday, but, you know, on Monday mornings and Tuesday afternoons. And so that really stuck with me.
Yeah, man, that is incredible. That would be another episode on a podcast just talking about your granddad. Because to me, sometimes we put a lot of emphasis on these conference, you know, lineups. And of course, you know, I thank the Lord for Bible conferences and things that helps us and challenges us. But I believe, Brother Kenny, and I believe you would line up with this, is when we get to heaven, some of the big shots are going to be in the back.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be those that molded and made the way for us, and they were behind the scenes. They prayed for us. I've had some people, we had some ladies out, this is years ago, but they were, when I first got to the church, or I hadn't been here maybe 6 or 8 months, and they were in the community just passing out some gospel literature and tracts from the church, and they knocked on this lady's door, and she came to the door, and she said she'd went to an area Presbyterian church, older lady, and she then, the ladies in our church, they invited her and gave her a gospel track. And the lady looked at the track and she said, "Oh, Pastor Cox." And she looked at the back. She said, "I pray for him every day."
Wow.
Every day. And they came back with tears in their eyes, literally to the church, saying, "Preacher, we met this one of the godliest ladies we've ever met. And she says she prays for you." Now, to my knowledge, preacher, I never met that woman, but from what that woman impacted those ladies so much by just the spirit that woman had on her, like just the joy of the Lord and the presence of the Lord by her prayer life. And it kind of convicted me because I thought, you know, that woman's never met me. But she says, "I pray for him every day," and the sincerity of that. And I thought to myself, I'm here today because of the prayers of the saints of God. Many of them I may not ever meet or have only met one time, and faithfully praying, faithfully laboring. And I feel like sometimes some of the names, even myself, and I'm putting myself in there, you think, man, that guy right there, he gets to travel and preach, or he gets to do this and that, and boy, he must be a really good Christian. And then you start thinking about what you really are, where you've come, and it's really been by other people behind the scenes that has paved the way, and kind of like your granddad, and what a great heritage. I appreciate you even mentioning that book that you wrote, because that book impacted me, and that, I think that was written back in, was it 2015, 16?
Yeah, somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere in that. Yeah, I remember that was a huge book in my life, writing there. Let me ask you this. How many books have you written to date?
We probably have around 20, 23 hardback-bound books. We have other resources, pamphlets and booklets, sermon outline books. But we have around 20 to 25 books that we have written, you know, what I would kind of term or coin as a full-fledged book.
Wow, that's amazing. Tell us a little bit about this new book that will be coming out here in about 3 or 4 weeks, and kind of tell us a little bit about the background, the title, and what's going on with this new book we're real excited about.
Yeah, so it's a new book. It's called In and Out of Season. Obviously taken from 2 Timothy 4, being instant in season and out of season. Yeah. And really the book is geared toward all the saints of God. It may have a ministry title, but it is really a devotional manual for ministry. And I had everyone in mind, you know, if you are a member of a local New Testament church, if you are a saved member, then you're not only a member of that church, you're a minister of that church.
Yes.
You know, I like what Paul said in 2 Corinthians, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we've received mercy, let us faint not. And, you know, Paul didn't say when he was writing to the church, "I have this ministry,"
right,
which, you know, he's trying to defend his own apostolic authority.
Yeah.
He didn't say, "I have the ministry." He didn't even say, "You have the ministry," or "They have the ministry," but collectively to the church, we have this ministry.
Yes.
So, you know, we're all responsible. So whether you're the pastor or preacher or missionary evangelist, the big titles, I guess.
Yeah.
Or if you're the custodian, the children's church coordinator, the bus driver, whatever, we all have a ministry to fulfill.
Yeah.
And so the book is categorized in 7 different main sections. And within each section, there are 10 chapters. So there's 70 chapters. They're not 5 and 6 pages each, but kind of written in a devotional style and broken into components of, you know, the minister's calling, going back to that moment, that place, that time when you were called, and, you know, bringing that back into your memory as a motivation to serve the Lord, your commission, your companions, who are you serving with, your community, the components of ministry, the conflicts of ministry, the consolation of ministry. So really just kind of runs the full gamut of all the various aspects that one may encounter, whether you're in season or you're out of season for ministry.
Yeah, that sounds like one that could go to even just someone that's just, like you said, you know, it's not just a preacher, but someone that may be in a season there where they're, you know, teaching Sunday school classes or working in a Awana ministry or a bus ministry or something, because we all have that season when we're in and when we're out.
Yes.
And we need to have those reminders. And that's when you shared that title a few weeks ago, and I read that. And man, it's just like the Spirit of God in my own heart just kind of, hey, we need to hear more about this. Like, we need to get this book into the hands of our people, not just preachers or ministers of the gospel, evangelists, missionaries, because there's lots of books just written to preachers, which is good. And you've wrote several, the Private Life of a Preacher. You mentioned that earlier. But there also needs to be some books out there for every saint of God. Like, you can just pick it up. I one book that molded me as a young preacher, but as a, like I said, a Christian, anybody could read it, was, and maybe you've read this book before, but there was a man by the name of, was, I think it was Keith Noss, if I'm saying it right,
yeah,
on Heartbeat of the Holies.
Heartbeat of the Holy.
My
yeah.
goodness.
What a great book.
What a great book. I don't know much about the man's ministry. I don't think he wrote a lot of other books. Maybe that might be the only book that he put together. I'm not sure. But somehow I got a hold of that book. It's not real easy to get a hold of it anymore, but I ordered about 10 of those books for some of our leaders, because there's so much in there about you know, the prayer and about you know, different things, just having God's power on our life and being pure and different things in there. And it just was a great reminder. And I want this book that you put together to be one of those books where we can go back to read it. Hey, I need to reread that again. I need to be that, you know, I need to go back here and read that chapter. I need to go back. And there's several books that's done that to me through the years. And I want that book to be the same. People need to hear from the Lord, we know, but people also need to hear from faithful preachers. If there's ever right. been a day and age that we, because anybody, you know this, anybody can write a book. You know, you get, you can send something to the publisher, but there's a difference between reading a book that someone has maybe heard about or has maybe heard someone else talk about, or then there's another level of reading a book where you just, you know, the person that wrote this book is living it.
Absolutely.
And that's when I read those books that you write, I'm like, you know, I know the guy that wrote this, and he's not just giving us a bunch of junk. He's living it. And that's what I appreciate about it. I appreciate that.
Well, you know, the title alone, I had in my mind and heart in and out of season for several years, but we've all been kind of in an off season and an out season with the pandemic.
Yeah.
And, you know, for so long in those initial months, we were all grappling with, you know, opening up the doors of our church. And, you know, we were somewhat of in an off season. And that's when the Lord really impressed me to finish the book and to, you know, get it into the hands, not just of preachers, but all those who minister in the body of Christ. And I really believe that the kingdom of God is moved upon the earth by really just no name lay members, people who are faithful,
man,
like the lady that's praying for you. And, you know, my life was impacted by people. If I were to mention their names, nobody listening to this broadcast or podcast rather would know who they are.
Yeah.
And, but they have a record in heaven. And, and so I think, you know, for everyone that is ministering, whether they're known nationally or not known, there are off seasons. There are times when you get discouraged. There are times you feel like you're, you know, just spinning your wheels. And what do you do during those seasons of life? And you know, Paul told Timothy, make full proof of your ministry, whether it's in or out of season. So that's really the gist of the book. It's not a practical how-to book. It's really a book just detailing things that we already know, serving as reminders for those things. Hopefully it'd be a word of encouragement and inspiration to those reading it, whether they're a preacher or they're just driving the bus for the bus ministry.
Yeah. And you know what? There's no little job in God's service.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, the Crossroads Baptist Church, the Bible Baptist Church, when I think about faithfulness, I think about the people who mop the floors, clean the bathrooms. Yes. They make the things go, and they never get the recognition, not like they deserve. And the nursery workers, I mean, can you imagine, you know, the kids' ministries, those that's behind the scenes. There's so many integral parts to the ministry of our churches. And I know the people that's listening to the podcast, you know who, you know, if you're a pastor, you're thinking of people right now. Bible Baptist Church would not be what it is without those people. And we need them to be plugged in and be faithfully serving. And in order for us to have a great Sunday or a great Wednesday or whenever our we meet, is these people make it happen. And so I'm glad that there is a book that is being put together for all of the servants of God. And I'm excited about it, and it'll be coming out very, very soon. So we want you to stay tuned. Our podcast will follow. We follow Brother Kenny's ministry, and we will share those details when the book comes out. Let me, before we got a couple more little questions, but what advice, Brother Kenny, would you give a young preacher or a young pastor who's just now starting out? There's never been a time in history where things are kind of the way they are now with the pandemic, a global pandemic. And here we are. I know several preachers that are just now either taking churches or some young preacher boys that's training for the ministry, and they're just cutting their teeth on the preaching. And what would advice would you give now a seasoned preacher that pastors a wonderful church and an author of books? What would you give a young preacher?
Well, I believe with all my heart that God is calling his church to pray. Mm-hmm. For a pastor starting out, or for a pastor that's been pastoring for a few decades like myself, the power of ministry, the power of preaching, the power of serving the Lord is fueled by praying. And we were talking a little bit prior to the podcast. You've ever been in a place where you've been trying to sleep and you kind of go in and out, and you sleep, but you don't really sleep, right? And you're restless all night. And so I think a lot of times we sleep but don't really sleep, the same way we pray but we don't really pray. And I feel as though if church is going to be revived, if we're going to get through some of these cultural situations, if we want power in our ministry, I feel like God is calling us to pray again in earnestness and in sincerity of heart. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so it's not just praying with pathos of spirit, it's praying that way with a righteous life. And so the more we pray, the more righteous we become, and the more righteous we become, the more we're going to want to pray. So there's nothing that a minister of God can endure when he's on his knees in prayer. I think it was Ian Bounds that said the sermon's made in the closet.
Yeah.
And I would say not just the sermon is made in the closet, but the one preaching the sermon is made in the closet. So I would say prayer has to be at the forefront and the background and the side drops and every aspect of ministry. And then I would just say, you know, guard your heart to love Christ, to take care of your family. It's so important. You know, I don't think you have to sacrifice your family on the altar of ministry. Mm-hmm. I think that they complement one another. Early on, as I was getting opportunities to go out and preach, I was preaching a lot of meetings. And the Lord began dealing with my heart about neglecting some things with the family. And so, you know, I really believe that if a man's called into the ministry, he's going to bring his family along with him. Mm-hmm. If you don't, you're disqualified for the ministry, according to what Paul told Timothy and Titus. So I would say prayer, guard your heart, love the Lord, maintain strong devotion. Keep your family in the midst of your faith, and just see people the way Christ saw people. You know, we'll never serve people the way Christ served people until we see people the way Christ saw people. And so, you know, that's very simple advice, but some that I would give to a young guy coming up.
That's spot on, man. Tell us, you started out with prayer, which is a top priority in the life of any Christian. You were sharing with me a little bit before the podcast about a journal you're putting together. Tell us a little bit about that, because I know you got a lot going on with this new book, but and now a much needed journal, if you don't mind, about this journal.
Yeah, so we just finished up, it's called the People of Prayer Journal. And we are highlighting all the prayers in the Word of God and looking at various aspects of those who prayed. For example, the prayer of Job, we talk about how do you reconcile sovereignty of God and suffering of mankind in prayer. We talk about Abraham, you know, how does faith and prayer work together? So there are 40 lessons on prayer from the people who taught us how to pray in the Word of God. So that's the premise of the book or the journal. It's interactive. We're actually, with this project, going to launch a social media campaign. So those who are, you know, reading the book and studying along with it will be able to join a Facebook group or do some things with others outside of maybe even their own church or within their church. So we're really excited about that. That's another couple of months off.
Okay.
We just finished it. We'll be sending that to the publisher sometime
maybe,
next month.
Yeah, maybe in the fall or something.
Right.
Wow.
But In and Out of Season should be coming in sometime in September, 1st of September.
So,
but the People of Prayer Journal will be maybe a few weeks or months after that.
Man, you got this one book coming out for all Christians, and then you've got a journal down the road a few months with prayer for all Christians. And there's no excuse. There's really no excuse for us. We make excuses at times to not pray or not read our Bibles or not serve, but to be honest, we really are in a pinch in our society where we're paying for not praying. And I think that like my dad shared with me just a few days ago when he was here preaching, he said, "Steve, we can't preach our way out of this mess. We're going to have to pray." And when you kind of struck a chord in my heart before the podcast ever even started this morning, just chatting, and I could tell that was a burden and a passion of yours is to get people praying. Where can we purchase? How do we get these books in our hands? I'm talking about past books you wrote or the books that's coming out.
Yeah, so any book that we have available can be found at crossroadspublications.org.
Okay.
That's crossroadspublication.org. All of our books are on there. There's some that we have out of stock, but by and large, most of them are available. And the new books, once we get them in hand, we'll launch them on the website. We'll post some social media campaigns as well. So if you follow me on Twitter or through Facebook, we'll make sure that we advertise when they're available to be purchased.
Cool. Now we're going to put that up on our website and the podcast. So you can go to the website whenever they are available or order books that maybe he's written in the past and follow Brother Kenny's ministry. I promise you, whether it be Twitter or Facebook, you'll see a man that honors the Lord. He doesn't spout off, doesn't get in arguments. He doesn't, do anything like that. You're going to see some edifying posts and some encouraging posts and thought provoking. And I appreciate your testimony on social media. And then you can go to our podcast though, and you can follow it. And we will post when this airs. We will post the website to Brother Kenny's books there, so you can do that and be waiting, be watching, and be aware of when these books come out. And we're excited about it. And we wanted to bring you on the podcast today and just kind of chat with you. And listen, if you're a pastor out there and you don't know of Brother Kenny, or maybe you've heard of him, but maybe you've not really got to meet him or hear him preach, you need to get this man at your church or follow this man on social media just for the fact that he's writing these books, but he's also a man of prayer. I've had him preach here multiple times, and I'll never forget that revival you preached a few years ago here. And man, our people still talk about it. I'll tell you what happened. The story behind that little revival was I had Kenny Baldwin scheduled to preach that week we were having. I think you were my dad. My dad preached. You preached Monday and Tuesday. My dad preached Wednesday and Thursday. And this was back in the older auditorium where, you know, before the fire and all that. So Kenny was supposed to preach, and I think I messed up the calendar or something. We messed up. So he called me, I don't know, 3 or 4 months before, and he said, "Preacher, I have royally messed up." And or maybe I called him. I can't remember exactly, but one of our calendars was off. And so we just said, "Hey, you know what? Let's pray. You know, I can't come." So I told Rebecca, I said, "Honey, let's just pray and see what God wants." Well, right away, the Lord put another Kenny on my heart. And so I picked the phone up, called you. And I think that was maybe the first time or you had come. I can't remember. Maybe you'd come another time and before, but that service, there was two services you preached, and it so helped our church and my family and me personally. And we still talk about that meeting. There was an electricity in that meeting. It was just God really helped our church, and we're very thankful for that. And I appreciate your friendship through the years. And man, you have been a blessing to me and my family. You're probably my wife's favorite preacher. She loves to hear you preach. She said that a lot, and she's just always enjoyed your spirit and your preaching. And so I appreciate you being faithful, and look forward to your books coming out, and we'll be in touch.
Well, Steve, thank you so much for having me today. It's just an honor to be part of this. I appreciate so much your ministry. Thank you for your friendship, and I praise the Lord for what He's doing in your life at the Bible Baptist Church and with your family. And I just thank God for you and how God's using you in these days.
All right, Kenny, thank you so much, man. God bless.
All right, you too.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow, what an interview. Man, I was so thrilled that he took some time to come on to the Real Vintage podcast and share his heart and burden and passion for ministry. Hey, go and check out these books. They'll be coming out very soon. The first, of course, In and Out of Season, will be coming, and you can check that out. Come to our podcast website, Facebook, Twitter. Find out where you can purchase these great books from Pastor Kenny Kuykendall. Thank you for tuning in to the Real Vintage Podcast.